Next item, please.
Item 590, require short-term rental platforms to collect an additional $2 per room night for housing and homelessness initiatives and expand the Tourism Improvement District to include short-term rental platforms.
Commissioner Daly? I think, am I turning this one over to you?
I think Commissioner Fish.
Commissioner Fish.
Yeah.
My staff told me to turn it over to you, but maybe what we should do is just say that we're
let's hear the presentation.
Delighted to bring this forward and ask Thomas Lanham to walk us through the resolution.
Very good. Thanks, Commissioners.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. I'm Thomas Lanham. I'm the Director of the City's Revenue Division. The short-term rental platforms have been having an impact on housing availability in Portland. The Portland Housing Bureau has estimated that up to 1,000 housing units that would otherwise be available for long-term lease or purchase are effectively removed from the market by the short-term rental platforms. In 2016, Airbnb published a report stating that the impact was much less than that. And while opinions vary as to the magnitude, clearly there is some impact. In recognition of that impact, the resolution before you today directs the Revenue Division of the City Attorney's Office to draft an ordinance requiring short-term rental platforms to collect an additional $2 per booking night to be dedicated to housing and homeless initiatives and to help mitigate the impact that short-term rentals have on the housing market generally. There are at least two other cities in the U.S. that have implemented similar per-night type fees. The resolution also directs the drafting of an ordinance to expand the Portland Tourism Improvement District to include the short-term rental platforms. When the district was created by the City Council in 2012, the intent was that all large transient lodging establishments, defined as hotels with 50 or more rooms, should remit an additional license fee calculated at 2% of taxable rents. The short-term rental platforms were in their infancy in 2012, but have grown to the point where they rival and in most cases overshadow the very largest traditional hotels, and as a matter of fairness, should also contribute to the district. District revenues are remitted to the Portland, to Travel Portland to promote the city of Portland as a tourism destination, and therefore should provide a multiplying effect on the local economy and lodging demand generally. It is noteworthy that the Tourism Improvement District license fee is typically passed on to the guest, and we anticipate short-term rental platforms may elect to do the same. These code changes are not expected to have a material impact on tourism demand in Portland. It's been 5 years since the Tourism Improvement District was implemented, and in those 5 years, Portland's hotel motel tax receipts have continued to break year-over-year records. Compared to similar cities, the overall hotel tax and fee environment remains very reasonable in Portland. If the council passes the resolution today, the Revenue Division will provide a draft of the implementing ordinance to interested short-term rental platforms to provide for feedback and ensure that the timing and the framework is workable for them. And I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Mayor, can I put this into context? First, I want to thank Thomas Lanham for bringing this forward. And a number of these components are ideas that came out of the Revenue Division. Second, one of the things we sometimes hear from our critics is that the actions we're taking around the so-called sharing economy somehow express our antipathy towards some of these emerging technologies. And I want to be very clear what the guiding principles have been in a number of actions the council has taken. And they are tax fairness and public safety. Those are two cornerstone values that the city needs to stand behind. And to put this resolution in the context of other council actions, council authorized 26-194 to be placed on the ballot. The voters overwhelmingly adopted 26-194, and that gives us a new tool in defining, quote, operator of these establishments broadly enough to cover the internet operators. Second, this council has adopted by resolution and directed that an ordinance be brought forward giving the Revenue Bureau subpoena a power to obtain the names and addresses of hosts from a number of these internet companies. With that information, it is our desire, it is our intent to make sure they're paying their fair share of taxes and that the units are safe for the people that actually occupy them. Third, the city is about to sit down and undertake negotiations with HomeAway for the purposes of attempting to bring them into full compliance with our laws, including to collect arrears from taxes that they have not paid in the past. And finally, today, this measure, recognizing that there is an adverse impact on the housing crisis by taking these units offline, proposes that we add a $2 per night fee and that an ordinance come back to us for that purpose. In totality, the actions we've taken recognize that with changes in technology, people are increasingly going to be booking units using using the internet, their computer or their phone, and technology provides convenient ways of doing so. Our interest is making sure that everybody who provides a room for rent in our community plays by the same set of rules and that no consumer is put in harm's way. And that's what the totality of these measures seek to achieve.
Thanks, Commissioner. Any public testimony on this item?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
So I'll just say this. First of all, I want to thank come on up. And while you're coming up, please come on up. I want to thank Commissioner Fish and the rest of the council for focusing on short-term rentals and promoting Portland as a destination. I think this is a solid resolution. I think it'll help from the development of the tourism industry here. Taking a step back, though, I think that we can do much better working with this industry to develop appropriate guidelines and regulations. And like Commissioner Fish, I think we need to get ahead of that rather than react to things that have already happened. I've directed my staff to work with BPS over the next year on the short-term rental code to determine what's working well, what isn't working well, and how we need to resolve these issues. So I want to thank everybody for working on this and supporting it, and I hope resolving some of the conflicts that currently exist around short-term rentals. And Commissioner Fish, I want to thank you in particular for your hard work on this issue. Mary, do you want to start?
Sure.
If that's okay. Great.
Hi, Mary Seip. Nice to see you all again. I'd like to just kind of echo what Mayor Wheeler just said about this and also kind of bring to light something that's happening that really makes me happy to see this. Just recently I found out, I think most of us think about these rentals as people renting their home or their spare bedroom through Airbnb and that it's impacting, you know, perhaps private homeowners. The building across the street from where I live, Block 17, which is owned partially by Hoyt Street Properties and Wood Partners, they had a real mass exodus of renters, and they're considered a luxury apartment building as a result of pile driving at Block 20. Their way to respond to that was they began renting out on Airbnb their units that they couldn't rent, rather than perhaps bringing the rents to a reasonable amount or, you know, some other things. And so to me, this is kind of a red flag. If the large apartment buildings are going to start leasing out on Airbnb and other vehicles, and removing these units from the housing market, I do think that they need to be contributing their fair share. They're also in direct competition now with the Marriott Residence Inn down the street, and so that's taking some tax dollars away. I'm really happy to see that you're doing this, and I just want to say keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you.
If I could just say, my understanding is that it's illegal to rent apartments and condo buildings.
We thought
on
so
Airbnb.
Too. And so did the residents of Block 17.
That was among the original rules. I'd have to double check to see if that's still in place. I believe it is.
I believe some of the residents, the renters there, are challenging this, and so it'll be interesting to see. But
Well, if I had ever been in it. wanted to get an Airbnb, I would be very angry if I got woken up by pile driving at 6 o'clock in the morning. So hopefully that will get out and yeah. Have to think again.
You're next.
Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. And it's unfortunate that given the crisis, the only number we've really heard here is or numbers is $2 and 1,000 units impact. We haven't talked about, at least it's not in the documents that are easily available on the City Council website, an estimated total revenue for this package and the appropriate expenditures. And also, if this is any type of carrot stick club thing that could motivate Airbnb and similar providers to get involved in offering emergency shelter to all kinds of people, particularly as we're going to be talking about later, people who are in distress because of domestic violence. So in addition to some revenue here of a as yet unsummarized, unaggregated amount that we don't know exactly what we're going to do with, we also, in the light of the recent tragedy when we're all trying to think about being the best citizens we can, need to extend that to corporate citizenship, people who might be renting out the White Stag building for their offices instead of as condos, and make sure that they're fully engaged in quality of life improvements here in our city. So, but if, I don't know, perhaps your packages are more comprehensive, if you could speak to an estimated amount. I don't know if we have even good intel about how many units are on the market for those services.
Well, just we do know, and it's a great question, Charles. We did get a report, I think, during the budget season of all the revenue that's reported from short-term rentals because by council ordinance, that revenue goes into the Housing Investment Fund and is used to build and preserve affordable housing. So we did make a conscious decision to take the revenue stream for short-term rentals and use it to mitigate the impact on affordable housing. We have quantified the amount of the existing revenue. The challenge here is that there are so many units that are under the radar because the platforms have failed and refused to give us the names and addresses of their hosts. And we suspect one of the reasons they've done that is many of those hosts would not otherwise qualify, would not be legal under Portland law, meaning they don't have a valid smoke detector alarm. They can't pass a basic fire safety life test, and the owner has not obtained a business license. So it's hard for us to speculate, but we'll be as transparent about this data as we have been with the revenue that goes to the Housing Investment Fund.
Just let me...
Yes, please.
This is just the resolution saying bring something back. So when it comes back to council, that's when you'll have the financial impact statement.
And I've dissed the so-called sharing economy here before, and we're currently, as a city, litigating against a sharing economy company, Uber. I would hope you'll be in conversation with the city attorney's office if there's any legal avenues to leverage better disclosure out of if there's any technology shenanigans going on inside the algorithms so that we don't have to rely on Mary's excellent reports of what's going on.
Great. Thank you.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Watchdog X. Again, I think the city is being completely unreasonable. Over-regulation, over-taxing. Again, these Airbnb, HomeAway, is bringing more money into this city, but it's not going into their pockets. It's going into the businesses in the local communities because they're bringing people in who want to spend money throughout the local economy. Now, you want to come back and start squeezing them. They're already paying a lodging tax. They're already putting money into the Housing Investment Fund. You want to hit this $2 per book night. Then you want to come back and do this tourism improvement district, try to hit on top of their gross rental receipts. Again, the city's being the bully, just like the city's being the bully with the Uber. And again, I hope they challenge you in court on this and run you up a couple $1 billion, and I hope you lose it. You're being completely unreasonable to the people, the businesses such as Airbnb, HomeAway, Uber, Lyft, have increased the tourism dollar in this city in the last 3 to 5 years more than anyone else has ever done. You ought to be giving them an award, thanking them for coming into this city. Because if you look at the dollars they brought into this city, and then you analyze how well these businesses have done, and look at the business tax that has increased at a rapid pace, and you've benefited from that, but you're not giving them any accolades. No, you want to come back as the big bully regulator. Well, guess what? You're not the big bullies anymore, because you know what? These billion-dollar corporations overshadow you. I hope they come in and buy your transportation infrastructure out from under you. I hope they come in and basically put their money where they want to put their money, and you quit trying to regulate them out of this city. Again, they should be getting accolades. You shouldn't be stopping the true innovators of this city. You're nothing but regulators standing there thinking you can just squeeze every penny out of them. Guess what? The true entrepreneurs are these companies that are making more jobs, creating more opportunity in this city. And guess what? You're going to lose in court. Thank you.
Okay.
I love regulators.
Thank you.
So we'll move the rest.
Yeah. Yep.
If you have to pay.
Any further public testimony on this particular item?
I don't know.
Sorry?
I didn't have a sign-up sheet.
Very good. This is a non-emergency first reading. It moves to secondary.
It's a resolution.
I'm sorry. It is a resolution. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Well, I want to thank Thomas Lanham for bringing this forward, and I think it's a innovative idea to leverage the benefits of the short-term rental market and to generate some additional monies to deal with the impact on our housing crisis. There was some testimony earlier about the effect that we're over-regulating. I want to be very clear. What we're talking about here are out-of-state companies, largely based in Silicon Valley, that are among the most well-capitalized companies in the world, that have gone into city after city and bullied regulators and consumers. And I'm agnostic about the sharing economy. I mean, as a matter of principle, I will not get into an Uber car because I don't want to support their corporate culture. But these are out-of-state companies with a business model that says we come in and run over consumers and regulators. And they have been highly effective. And what Portland needs to do is make sure that the public is safe and that everyone plays by the rules. And the reason 26-194 passed overwhelmingly is that Portlanders found it offensive that a mom-and-pop bed and breakfast in St. John's pays the lodging tax and these out-of-state companies don't. That's offensive. That means that our people are put at a competitive disadvantage. So we're leveling the playing field. And the reason that we are seeking to get the names and addresses of the units is because today, if you ask me, where's a Hilton, where's a Motel 6, I can tell you, and we can go look at the units. Why do we want to look at the units? Because we want to make sure there's a working smoke detector, and God forbid there's a fire, there's a way for someone to get out of the room. Currently, companies like HomeAway have refused to even identify their hosts, which means people are coming to this city, and we welcome them. We're grateful they're coming. They're spending money. We're even more grateful they're doing that. But as a city, we can't tell them they're safe in their unit. And it is only through the grace of God that we have not had a fire or some tragedy where someone has come to our city, and because one of these companies has been negligent in ensuring the units are safe, someone has died. So our obligation is to make sure everybody pays the same tax, the out-of-state companies and the mom-and-pop bed and breakfast, and to make sure the units are safe. That's what these resolutions and ordinances are designed to do. We still have a long way to go, but I have to say, under this mayor, I've seen more action to actually address these consumer and safety issues than I have in the last 4 years, and for that I'm grateful, Mayor.
Thank you, Commissioner.
I want to thank Commissioner Fish for his passion on this issue and for his commentary. There's no question that short-term rentals are contributing to a global housing crisis, as well as our own local housing crisis. And is serving as an accelerant to growing wealth inequality. Portland was the first city in the U.S. to legalize short-term rentals, which means we were also the first to set rules and regulations. And I'm proud to say that we are not backing off of them so far. We are actually asserting them further. Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
So I'm not going to get sucked into the conversation about the regulation versus the free market, except to say this. I believe in tax fairness and tax equity, and I want to thank Commissioner Fish for his leadership to make sure that we have that in the community. I think it's a basic principle of taxation. And second of all, while I do support private sector innovation, I also support paying for the services that help them to be economically successful in our community. And for those of you who are regulars here who just sat through weeks and weeks of tough budget decisions around basic services and the cost of providing those basic services, whether it's safety, whether it's roads, whether it's fire and safety inspections, whether it's making sure that we have regulations in place that allow people with disabilities and older adults to participate in the sharing economy, there's a balance here. And it's not about government trying to get their piece or their pound of flesh off of the private sector. This is about making sure that we continue to have a viable community. And so I believe there's plenty of room for the sharing economy in this community to be highly successful and economically highly successful and have our basic needs as a community also addressed. So I think this, it's a balancing act. It's always, and there'll be people who say we went too far. There'll be people who say we didn't go far enough. That's why we have a government and elected officials to help resolve some of those conflicts. So I think this is a pretty good threading of the needle, and it certainly keeps the door open for further discussions and refinements, but I think it's great, frankly. I think it's a really good first step. Thank you. I support it. Aye. Resolution is adopted. Next item, please.